This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
We just unveiled our accounting, and pretty similar, ironically. Florida State on the top, but we're a little different on the bottom. You've got BC. I've got North Carolina.
Second week in a row, you have Carolina last, right?
No, not. They weren't last week.
14 last
14
week.
14 week. Last week. West, they haven't won this decade.
I know.
They've won two games since the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
I know.
Two. One's against UCLA, who's equally inept, and Yale, who's having a great year. Trying to be a good win.
UCLA scored like 20-some points last night.
They're terrible. They're terrible.
In the first half, they were brutal.
When Cole Anthony comes back, it'll change their landscape. But the question is, what do you do in the meantime? They're just not very good.
Yeah, and the numbers are starting to reflect some of the problems. The number that is of the biggest concern to me is that they're only shooting 40% from the floor. And their 3-point field goal percentage is 28%. And these are all in conference play numbers, by the way, because we're to the point now where the regular season stuff is fine, but really we're talking about ACC play. The other thing too is just some staples, just some basic, you know, pieces of what Carolina is. They're still number one in rebound margin. Why? Because they miss a lot of shots.
A lot of shots.
And here's the other thing too. Are we a little guilty on the front end of overestimating what Carolina was going to be this year? I think so.
100% guilty.
Okay. But the reality of it is Cole Anthony had to stay healthy to give them a elite level player who could go get shots and go get buckets when they needed them in close games.
And he did that the first week of the season, and we all went, wow,
right.
Look at this dude.
But
he also, because of that, kind of overshadowed a real issue, and that is who else was going to step up and make some shots.
Right. The other thing that you have to realize when you start talking about Carolina, I think now is, in the discussions I have with other much smarter basketball people than me, is Carolina's lack of Garrison Brooks is much improved, but at night in, night out, Garrison Brooks, a lot of this load falls to the post.
Well, somebody's got to make some shots.
Second part is this. There's not a Cam Johnson. There's not a Reggie Bullock. There is not a, I'll go back 15 years, Rashad McCants. There's not a guy on this roster right now that you know you can come down the floor, and if you're down one, there's not Luke May. There's not a shot maker on the floor right now for Carolina. Consistent shot maker.
Correct, and that is an issue. I just thought that, again, I thought Duke would be ready to go against Louisville coming off a loss. I thought North Carolina, after losing to Clemson, would have all week to go, man, it's not who we are. Let's go play against Pitt. And they're down 20 in the first half to Pitt.
Right.
And, again, the Oakland Zoo will get on you. Those guards are really, really good. And I know Pitt beat North Carolina earlier in Chapel Hill for the first time ever as well. I just thought that, you know, whatever was there would give me something. That thing was over in the first half.
Right.
And you're thinking, all right, North Carolina. Hey, you know, and I know Roy's responsible for whoever he signs to bring on a team. There's still talent on that club.
There is.
I mean, let's not pretend, you know, I only have one McDonald's All-America. Hey, there are a lot of people who love to have one, right? You still got to go play. I expect North Carolina to be fine once Cole Anthony gets back, but at what point in time do you sit there and you say, hey, we're so far in the hole, where do we go from here? I mean, they have not won a game this decade.
Right. Well,
I mean, come on. And then I look at the schedule. Again, this is what gets scary. This is why I asked you, at what point in time does Cole Anthony come back? Virginia Tech on the road. Miami at home. So I think the chance at home, you should be able to hold serve. Some. You know, they didn't beat Georgia Tech at home. They didn't beat Pitt at home.
Clemson.
They didn't beat Clemson at home. Okay. Well, guess what's coming down the pike here in you know, late January and February? It gets ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Miami at home, winnable. You got two left with NC State. You got to go to Florida State. BC at home, certainly a winnable game.
February 1, yes.
Right? That's a winnable. To me, Miami at home is winnable. BC at home is winnable. Wake Forest at home is winnable.
They play Wake twice.
Twice. They got right. State twice, Duke twice.
Wake twice.
Wake twice. They got to go to Florida State. They got to go to Louisville. They got to go to Syracuse. I mean, when does it get any easier for North Carolina?
Doesn't.
It does not.
Right.
And that's even with Cole Anthony. Mm-hmm. So there is work to
if
be
Cole
done.
Anthony comes back.
I'm assuming he's coming back.
So
I just don't know when.
Well, I mean, the Instagram stuff, I mean, looks like he's trying to come back.
That's all fine and good. I don't spend time on the gram. I'd much rather see him come in the warm-up drill and say, guess what? Cole's playing tonight, boys. Strap it on tight. He could go for 35 tonight.
Right.
And at what point in time to get back into basketball shape? That's the other thing. I mean, it's one thing to say.
Well, how much is he able to do in practice? How much can he do in the water?
Right.
I mean, those kind of things.
I've never in my lifetime seen North Carolina like this. And I know in the Matt Doherty years, there were, you know, it was
8-20.
But this one, we just expected, and this is our fault. Not nobody's fault. This is our fault. That we just expected Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Louisville. Blue Bloods, they're in, man. They're good to go. And, you know, Virginia really struggling, but it looked like they finally maybe found some offensive punch in their win against Georgia Tech.
Right.
But I would have never thought that we'd be having this conversation about North Carolina in January. Never.
I tell you who else is tired of having this conversation. The Hall of Fame head coach of the Tar Heels. Saturday after the Pitt loss, another tough day at the mic for Coach Williams.
I'm getting tired of meeting you guys like this. I know we've lost the first game the season a couple times. Two times we lost the first game of the season, so we started 0-1. We went to the Final Four both times, won a national championship, but this is a little later there. Having a losing record right now is not something we're very familiar with.
Coach is right. He's 100% right. I just don't know what you do. I mean, you got to go out there and play with what you got, man.
One night they're going to hit shots.
You would assume so. That eventually that will happen. But again, like I said, when you go down their schedule, Wes.
I hear you.
You know, you still got to get everybody on Tobacco Road on the road.
You
got Syracuse on the road. Louisville on the road. Notre Dame on the road. Virginia Tech on the road.
Right.
Good luck.
All right, 844-SAY-ACC and your phone calls during the program today. David in North Carolina gets us started. David, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Listen, I've been an ACC fan and a Wake Forest fan since 1956. I remember when Packers Daddy played at Wake Forest. Durham, I'd like to talk to you about how can you have Carolina ahead of Wake Forest in the ACC accounting?
So you thought they were going to be on my case for putting the heels last. And they're coming after you.
I got the Wake guy chasing me.
You know, and should be, because you know better than that.
Wake's got a road win at Pitt, and Carolina lost by 16 or 18 at Pitt, right?
That's,
is that where we're going, David?
That's where I'm going, but I think you're a little bit too loyal to your daddy's Tar Heels to give a good accounting on the Carolina today.
Okay. Okay.
I think he brings up a good point, Wes.
I mean,
I got to tell you, I think he's right.
I'm prospecting as much as I am reflecting, as they say. So, okay. All right. I appreciate that.
I will emphasize again, the accounting is for today, this moment. And let me tell you, accounting is going to change tomorrow. You know why? Because Virginia and NC State play tonight,
right.
And you and I both have them in the 4-5 spot, in different spots. This is one of those leapfrog games.
Yeah.
And it's a huge game because both of them have a chance to look at the week and go, can we go 2-0? And we keep emphasizing, just putting together those 2-0 weeks. Man, you do that, you are moving. And if you look at the schedule, NC State, of course, on the road tonight in Virginia, they're at Georgia Tech Saturday. Certainly a winnable game given the fact the Jackets are 0-for-2019-20 in ACC play at home. They're 0-4 at home.
Crazy.
And if you're Virginia, you're at Wake. You'll take your chances at Wake Forest if you're Virginia. So the winner of this game tonight is absolutely feeling good that they have a full week to get ready, maybe go 2-0 in a week. It is huge right now.
Yeah.
Where is this going?
State Virginia tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN, by the way.
It's a big game.
Tomorrow night, Wake at Clemson, Miami at Duke.
Miami. Of course, I said the same thing about Louisville.
And Duke's lost two straight.
Last time Duke lost two in a row in the same week as a top three team was, what, 06? Is that what I read? March of 2006?
Yeah.
They don't lose at Cameron very often, man.
All right. If Carolina is 15 or 13?
15. 13.
Right. Is Florida State number one with a bullet in this league?
They got to be right now, my man.
Boy, Dan Bonner is the prophet of October.
He tried to remind everybody.
We'll come back and talk about why the Noles might be at the top of the heap. And more of your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN, coming up next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN is the phone number. We've given you accounting. If you were expecting Jeff Collins, we were too. Unfortunately, the private plane had some mechanical issues. It was not American Airlines' fault. It was not Delta's fault. But the coach is going to be with us here in the basement on Friday. We look forward to that.
Look forward to breakfast is what we're looking forward to.
Well, you know, he's got some connections. Bacon, egg, and cheese. No mayo for me. Just saying. They're watching.
All right. 844-SAY-ACCN. Calls continue. Jay in North Carolina. Jay, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. My comment is about what nobody seems to want to talk about with Carolina is that biggest problem is defense. I'm like, who's coaching these kids? Because they act like they have no kind of initiative to play defense, and they're not going to win anything until they start guarding people. And also his three-point defense, that's a joke. You got to go out and get people. And the other thing is, I think it's between the ears. Why can't these guys get motivated to play? Somebody needs to challenge their manhood.
All right.
Jay, thank you.
Thank you.
When you're going like you're going with the Heels and you cannot score, one does feast on the other one, Wes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts to play with you. And that game against Pitt, hey, they're down 20 in the first half. They looked almost – hey, let's just kind of get this thing over with. It's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, and I'm not taking anything away from Pitt. They were ready to play, right? And those guards can make you look foolish if you're not in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, North Carolina's down 20 at the half. They played better in the second half, but they were never in the game. Yeah. Never in the game.
It's this part of it right here, the tactics. Now, I will say this, Jay. Carolina in conference play is ninth in three-point field goal percentage defense, scoring defense, field goal percentage defense, they are seventh. Their scoring defense in ACC play is 10th. They are allowing 72.5%. But here's a little-known stat that has been given to us by our stats and info department of Packer and Durham, by the way. We have, through six ACC games, now I realize Carolina has now played just the six, others have played seven. Carolina has turned it over on 21% of their possessions in ACC play. One out of every five times they basically turn it over. Mark.
Get you beat almost every single time. Yeah, I mean, especially when you play good teams, especially if you're on the road.
And there's a stat as well. There's a Twitter feed out there that produces interesting things as it relates to like Carolina basketball. One of them is that quarter scoring, Carolina's point differential by quarter in 10-minute segments, like in the, if you crack up the game, right? 10-minute segments. They're minus 20 in the first 10 minutes of a game.
All right.
They're plus 43 in the second 10 minutes. They're minus 36 in the first 10 minutes of the second half. So it's the two front ends of halves are killing them. And I bring that up because Danny Manning and I just had this discussion on Saturday about Wake Forest. One of the things that was really affecting Wake Forest is they start games slow or they start games, you know, they can't match a first half and a second half. Boston College went 0-14 the other night, Syracuse from 3 to start the ballgame. He shot like 21% in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get players to play the game from the top right away. Because if the other team throws a haymaker because of how narrow the field is in the ACC this year, the other team throws a haymaker and you're behind, you don't have a lot of room for error now with as closely knit as some of these teams are.
And not to simplify this, but isn't that coaching? And isn't that getting your guys ready to play?
Could be. I mean, you could do as much as you want coaching-wise. Players can do as much as they want. It's the connection between the two. And I think that's what you're talking about as much as anything.
I mean, you know. The bottom line is scoreboard. I mean, we can give you all the numbers in the world, 21% of turnover rate and whatever you just rattled off.
By quarters, yeah.
You can give me all that you want. The end of the day is scoreboard. Did you win? Did you lose?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's where we are.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, the flip side is to North Carolina's misfortune. The flip side of the league is Florida State's been really, really good.
Well,
and they've been able to go on the road and win when it matters, Wes. When you take it on the road at Louisville in that environment and say, guess what? We know you're good. We know we're good. Let's go play. And you dictate tempo and win a game. Hey, it sets you up the rest of the way where you know you're not going to walk into any environment, much less what they went into Miami where they were behind all day, found a way to win. That's what good teams do.
Well, the other thing with Florida State that is starting to become a reality with this particular Seminole team, defense has always been a constant for Leonard Hamilton,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
That's always there. Travels, it goes places, it's night in, night out for the most part, okay? This particular Florida State team in ACC play might be one of his best offensive teams. This is a team that is fifth in field goal percentage. They are fourth in three-point field goal percentage. They are very good in rebound margin. They are doing a really good job around the rim. Assist-wise, they're not bad. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is a very good offensive team. Oh, by the way, that has depth.
That's where I was going to go. On any given night, Wes, it's not just one guy that can beat you. They've got three or four that can beat you.
Yep.
There's not many teams in this league that can make that statement, and that's what makes them dangerous. They're going to play great defense, and you know what? Here comes Mr. Walker off the bench. Bam, he can give you 19.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what we saw with Johnson over the weekend in the Louisville-Duke game. You get a guy that can come off the bench, get on my back, and give you instant offense. It is a humongous advantage right now in college basketball.
Yep.
There are too many teams in the country that are good teams that can't score, can't shoot. And all of a sudden, if you have one of those teams that can, man, I like your chances. I like Florida State's chances right now.
Later in the week, by the way, MJ Walker, Mr. Big Shot.
He's been good, man. Really good.
Well, he's healthy. Shaking up a little bit over the holidays.
Who would have thought, though, seriously, when the hoop season started in early November and people still had football in the brain, if we would have made a statement on this show, hey, I figure by the middle of January, Florida State's the best team and North Carolina's the worst team.
Oh, you could have
said, what are these
thousands of dollars?
What are these two idiots talking about on
thousands
the television show?
Dollars.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you why we always say, man, you can read, you can study. Man, you get dumber and dumber the more you watch these games. But it just goes to show you where we are in the middle of January. Now, I will also preface this by saying it doesn't mean that's where we will be in early March.
Doesn't mean it'll be where we are a week from now.
That could be, and that's we talked about there in the glob. Remember we talked about this last week?
I got Malcolm Huckabee to talk about the glob last week.
The glob, yeah. Right? Somebody in
gave
the glob.
Gave you full credit on that, by the way.
That's fine. I'm not looking for credit. Somewhere in the glob, somebody's going to get hot. Maybe it's Syracuse. Maybe all of a sudden it's NC State, who's now gotten healthy. And I do like their chances, Wes, when they're healthy, because they can score. There are not many teams in this league that can truly score. NC State can do that.
All right. Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina on the Wolfpack. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Speaking of NC State, it's got to start tonight. It's got to start with two guys coming off the bench, Pat Andre and Braxton Beverly. They haven't really done a thing this year. They got to have more confidence. And I think if they can get between 15 to 17 points a game and finish games out, I think State's well on their way to probably a top three or top four finish in the ACC and a big run in the ACC tournament championship. But they just have to get going, man. That's our missing piece right now. We got Bryce back, and they're going to have a good season if they could just get on track. Thank you.
Now, wait a second. I know Pat Andre and Manny Bates were both shaken up at the end of the Clemson game. But, yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, certainly one or two guys off the bench have to be critical.
Well, if they're going to average 15 apiece, they're going to win the league.
Yeah. They may win it going away.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think you're going to get 15 apiece out of them. But the point of it is that if NC State, number one, stays healthy, number two, does get some contribution off the bench on a consistent basis, they can cause problems. They can certainly cause problems. And I think right now they're starting to find their mojo. They weren't great against Clemson. but they found a way to win a game thanks to Clemson not being able to make a free throw down the stretch. But this NC State team now, we liked them early. And all of a sudden they got kind of banged up and
right. They
kind of, you know, like everybody else right now has been just so injury prone. But when the Wolfpack gets healthy, I think they have the possibilities to being an upper tier team right now in the ACC.
Jamie, I'll tell you it starts tonight for another reason. Tonight begins a stretch of five of the next seven on the road for the Wolfpack.
Big.
At Virginia, at Georgia Tech, Carolina, Louisville at home, at Miami, at Syracuse, at BC, an 11-day stretch.
Mm.
So, just saying. Commonwealth of Kentucky next, Pac.
Like it.
Ronald, good morning, sir.
How you doing today?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Yes, I was just wanting to point out a fact about the Louisville Cardinals. You know, they have been playing very good ball for the last two games, and I really like the way they've actually rotated the people in. But to be all the way honest with you, no one is talking about how good of a road team that Louisville really is. If you look at it by now, they've won at least majority of their games on the road, and they've won them in good fashion, to be honest. You know, bringing Johnson off the bench was, I mean, a plus that Matt could have done. I mean, it was a big plus. And he's putting a spark into the Cardinals with him motivating the ball into the paint more. You know, if they get it back down to Enoch a little bit more, it would work. But his penetration has actually opened a lot up for Louisville, actually for the role players, not just for Laura. You know, the role players are starting to be able to play off of him. And that's a big thing for Louisville. And I really like the way they're going right now.
All right, look, I have no issue with what you're talking about, their ability on the road. They did lose at Kentucky in overtime, the home loss to Florida State. I think they have done some good things on the road. I think the win Saturday, though, is the one that will, you know, just kind of validate the journey, if you will. It puts Louisville in the discussion the rest of the year, Pac.
You know, they won the game, too, without Ward going to crazy, right? He wasn't the dominant player on the floor, and to me, that is actually a good thing for Louisville.
Yeah.
Where you said, hey, he's our go-to guy. He didn't give us the A, but you know what? We had other guys step up and make plays on the road in a game that you absolutely knew was a big deal.
Yep.
I think if you're a Louisville fan today, you really, really like your spot in the league, and so does Florida State. And I think if you're a Duke fan, you're looking around going, boy, that was a lousy week, but you know what? We still are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, again, I want to go back to something we talked about last week. All that nonsense, let me emphasize in complete caps, nonsense, Duke winning out. Remember that conversation we had last week? Yeah, please, bury it. Flush it, bury it, and do it twice. Nobody's winning out anything in this league. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State's not going to. Louisville's not going to. Duke's not going to. Not happening.
Yeah.
Man, can you believe we had that conversation last week?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it last week either.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's not the
way.
We have
a lot of conversations here that we probably shouldn't have sometimes.
It's not the way this league is built this particular year.
We work our way down a crevice, if you will, and we have a hard time backing out.
I'm going to let you crystal ball something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The team that finishes in first place in the ACC regular season for the men will have how many conference losses?
If I'm
going to give you a number, you tell me over and under.
Okay.
Three.
Mm.
17-3.
More.
You think it'd be 16-4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's in the neighborhood.
I think four is the number, and I'm going to do a little work today. I haven't had a chance to do it. I'm going to look at the remaining schedules.
Oh, you're going to do every game?
No.
We're going to come back tomorrow. You're going to have like 11 teams at 12-8?
No. No, what I'm going to do is look who who has what on the road in single games.
Okay.
I keep telling you.
This is a West Durham theory here.
No. Yes, and it's called the single game because I'm telling you the single game becomes so big.
Well, at the end of the day, it does because it's the ultimate tiebreaker game.
They play one time. They may play in December. They may play in January on some random Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks, well, And look, Pittsburgh swept Carolina yesterday, which is huge because if they ever get to a tiebreak situation, Pittsburgh wins the tiebreak. Is that a big deal? Could be.
Isn't it amazing that a team like Pittsburgh 2 years ago didn't win a conference game?
He's done such a good job.
Seriously. I mean, just such let this one marinate a second. They did not win a game in the conference 2 years ago, and this weekend they finished sweeping North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Can happen, man.
Yeah. When we continue, halfway home on the Monday, big returning announcements in the ACC, one over the top of all of them, and it's that guy right there. Agent number 9 coming back to Tiger Town for one more run. ETN, Lawrence, Justin Ross, that'd be all right.
Mari Rogers.
They might be able to have some playmakers. Stay tuned. Packer and Durham on a holiday Monday on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371. Good morning.
Packer and Durham from the basement. We were expecting Jeff Collins. He had flight issues. The good news is Coach will be joining us here in the basement on Friday. And as I mentioned as well, Wednesday we have the responsibility of unveiling the 2020 ACC football schedules for everybody. You will get that exclusively on Packer and Durham on Wednesday.
Do we have we're going to have graphics and stuff like
everything?
Really?
Yep. Everything.
Man, we've come a long way,
including the
bronze football. We're going to award the bronze football to somebody.
That stays here.
Yeah, no. Got it. Anything else you're feeling like we need to do on Wednesday to kind of dress it up, spiff it up a little bit?
No, the boys in Bristol and Chrissy and their whole crew will have this thing as a big deal. And it is a big deal.
It's a big deal for us.
And we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. By the way, I have one request here, too, before we get back to who's coming back in ACC football. Can we take Packers glob and make that a graphic somehow? Can we get some... I don't know what you guys call it up here. We've only been working with you since August. I don't know what y'all call that deal, like the – remember the old Numbers Never Lie segment where you had the cartoon-type stuff, Josh and Drew? You remember those type deals? I'm wiggling my fingers to indicate the stuff.
Who are you, Seth Greenberg?
Yeah. Remember they have those fun graphics and stuff they do at ESPN?
To be honest with you, I did not see that show. I was busy working.
But they used to have all these, like, cartoon animation type things. Or
are you sure you're not talking about the Mucinex booger? You know.
No, I'm definitely not talking about that.
That's a glob.
It is a glob. But you know that, like, in Numbers Never Lie, Drew, you remember they used to have all the animation and stuff? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Do you think
there
we can get...
a lot of virtual when we started first using virtual.
Okay. Do we think we can get some kind of animated glob for Packers ACC basketball stuff? That'd be kind of fun, don't you think? Maybe not.
No, it would be. I'm just trying to figure out how we would do it.
You animate a glob. That's why you guys get paid a lot of money.
You guys are producers, though. You guys run this show.
I know, but that seems hard. Let me think about it. We'll come up with something. How many letters can we put in the glob?
That's your question, since you had the A's, the B's, the C's, the D's, and the E's.
It's not funny. I was trying to be funny, but that was not funny.
By the way, who in the world calls somebody during the middle of a TV show or a radio show? Do you ever get that problem?
Yeah.
Is it Billy?
No.
That's not Billy, is it?
No.
Is it the mechanic working on Jeff Collins' plane?
Well, that could be.
That could be.
That could be.
He doesn't have to worry about it until Friday at this point.
I've always wondered why people who are trying to get in touch with you know that, hey, you know, from 7 to 10 and from 4 to 7, he's
Well, you know, we
busy.
Have a regional television executive that texts us during shows.
He's got nothing to do.
Right.
I get that part.
Yeah.
All right.
Travis Etienne is coming back, kids, by the way.
We discussed this last hour briefly. That surprised a lot of people, including me.
Write me down on that list, too.
Wes, I know Clemson's offensive line needs to be readdressed, but they played so many guys that they'll go through that. They'll lose the experience, per se, when you have all those seniors and graduates up front. But that will have to be addressed in the spring, in the summer, and next fall. But, man alive, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Justin Ross, the freshman wide receivers who got a lot of playing time.
Frank Ladson and Joseph Ngata.
Yeah, my goodness gracious. They are going to be loaded again in Death Valley.
Right. Well, I will say Eric McClain on Tuesday morning after the loss to LSU last week was not as concerned about the offensive line overhaul as maybe others would be, and he specifically mentioned Jordan McFadden.
Right.
And Matt Bockhorst and Cade Stewart also were in the depth chart there. So was a young freshman named Will Putnam. And to quote the great Paul Johnson, all their other recruits have come highly recommended as well. So, you know, if they get the front figured out in the spring, and that'll really be the point of emphasis, I think that and both you and Eric mentioned that Clemson's focus defensively goes from the back seven to the front now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their strength will be in 2020.
Which has been more in tune with the way they have played. That's why I thought Brent Venables this year had one of his greatest coaching jobs, trying to figure out how do I play to my strength, given the fact you lost everybody in the defensive line who went as a first-round pick, and they figured out, okay, well, let's just change how we approach this thing and just attack from behind. I think they kind of go back to how they normally would play defense. And I say that almost tongue-in-cheek because numbers-wise,
right,
it was spectacular, right? Just spectacular on that front. But I think they'll go back to what they're more comfortable doing defensively for the 2020 season.
Did I hear Pinckney's – he can't come back, can he?
He is back.
Niles Pinckney's coming back?
Yeah, from my understanding.
Oh, my gosh. So that means all the front comes back.
Yeah, man.
Xavier Thomas, Tyler Davis, Logan Rudolph, Justin Foster.
Xavier Kelly is out. He's entering the transfer portal.
Okay, but Xavier Thomas is back.
He's back.
Yeah. Who, by the way, we thought a year ago would be the new star.
I thought he would be the breakout star. I thought he had kind of a down year, but it might have been as much with the scheme was very different.
Sure.
Versus how it was played the year before. But he'll get back kind of in his natural position. I still think Clemson will go back to more of a 4-3 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not a coach, but Brent Venables will figure all this stuff out. But with the way they
recruited, tell us, and we'll kind of go, okay.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, but I think Clemson will kind of go back to looking more like Clemson defensively in 2020 than you saw prior to this past year, which they were still very, very good.
Yeah. By the way, with ETN coming back now, the Tigers will return six on the offensive side if you go by just the depth chart for the last game. Obviously, they opened different formations. You could make it where seven or eight come back, but anyway.
I think they're the only team in the league, Wes, when you look at returning starters from a year ago, Clemson is immune to whatever the number is. You know why? Because they play more people than anybody on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, just like we were talking about with the offensive line play, and all of a sudden the other guys that you mentioned, go back and look at how many snaps they had this year.
Yeah.
And you'll go, wow, they played a lot of guys. That's what they do.
And they recruit.
It's all about players, man. Yeah. Players and development. That's
what they do. ETN comes back, and in doing so, puts Clemson in a situation where the Tigers, quite frankly, can look at a guy who might have a chance to be in the discussion for the greatest running back in ACC history.
If he stays healthy, no question that's in play.
And the record that everybody will talk about is the one that is held by the legendary Tet Brown of NC State. You see where Travis is now. He only needs 565 yards to eclipse Tet Brown's great mark from an ACC perspective. He is 1878. To join C.J. Spiller with 7,000 yards of all-purpose. That would be another incredible statement by Travis Etienne. The other note, and it is worth noting, although we went and had this discussion about who fill in the blank preseason player of the year in the ACC next year, I said Sam Howell, Pack said Trevor Lawrence, because we thought Travis Etienne was going pro.
That's right.
He could become the first, I think, three-time player of the year in the ACC.
That'd be correct, too.
Yeah. There are the Clemson marks he already has, just adding to the total. So, quite a statement for Travis Etienne from Jennings, Louisiana, to come back and play as a senior for the Tigers.
Well, it just adds to the number one class. Mm-hmm. I mean, now all of a sudden you're putting a grown man back there again as a running back, and you throw a number one recruiting class on top of it, Clemson's going to be the preseason number one team in the country. And, you know, while last week, really, it's hard to believe it was a week ago, it was a game, right? It was certainly a disappointing night for Clemson football fans. Yep. I thought there was a sense, even coming back Tuesday, and even last week, that, yeah, disappointing when they lost to LSU, no question. LSU played great, and they were a tremendous year, has been pointed out. But there was also a sense of, hey, you know what, we'll be back.
Yeah.
You're right? I mean, I heard that. How many times did you hear that last week? You know, yeah, disappointing for sure. You want to win a championship when you got an opportunity. But to think that this program is going anywhere, you're crazy.
By the way,
it's the standard.
The other notable guys electing to return at the deadline, we already told you Boogie Basham's coming back, Carlos Basham, the defensive end at Wake Forest, which, by the way, pending any late 11th hour stuff, transfer portal, things of that nature, Wake Forest looks like they're going to bring back – Lyle Hempel's going to have 9 back on defense next year. Nine.
It's going to be all right, man.
Yeah. The offensive side, a little bit different story, but you are going to get Sage Surratt back. You also you lose Scotty Washington in that process. Jamie Newman obviously is transferred to Georgia. Now, the other news of returning guys is Florida State.
Right.
You know, the old Mack Brown line when he got the Texas job, our most important recruit was Ricky Williams coming back for one more year. Well, Mike Norvell, who we've had on this show, really fun to talk to in our first visit, his most important recruits were Marvin Wilson at defensive tackle and Tamarian Terry at wide receiver.
No question. I mean, you get experience and quality players on top of it, not to mention on the field, but even more importantly, Wes, your locker room.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yep. Marvin, my man Marvin now is the ringleader. And every time he's been on the show, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that kind of leadership in your locker room with the first coach, New Year coach coming in like that,
right?
It's a humongous advantage.
I agree.
Big time.
By the way, yesterday the news was starting to come down. We have no official word or confirmation on this, but I did find all the discussion points yesterday, and we'll use this going to break, about the possibility of Houston quarterback De'Eriq King going to Miami to
right.
be very interesting.
Well, I put that on my list today. I didn't know if we were going to get around to it. It adds to the intrigue of spring football in Coral Gables because this is going to be a team that not just us talking about it from a national perspective. Mm-hmm. I think what Miami does in 2020 is a big storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody expected 6-7, especially the way it ended. Now you put a King in there who's an incredibly talented kid. At quarterback, it adds to their depth in that position. And, hey, they're going to be an intriguing team to watch in the spring. No question.
Yeah. By the way, if King is coming to Miami, he will be there tomorrow when the Canes start classes. So we'll get to that and more tomorrow because, obviously, Tuesday, if they're starting classes and he is there, that means that De'Eriq King is in the quarterback mix. And, by the way, Manny Diaz lost an assistant over the weekend as well, according to Susan Miller Deegan of the Miami Herald.
By the way, we've gone back real quickly to the Clemson offensive line.
Sure.
This is what I read, and this is on TigerNet. You know, David Hood does a great job
sure.
with all that stuff.
Absolutely.
He says Carman is back, Jackson Carman, along with Mac Bockhorst, who almost played the starter snaps of 421 snaps. They're joined by Blake Vincent, 34 snaps before knee surgery, Will Putnam, Cade Stewart, and Jordan McFadden to form the nucleus of next year's offensive line. That group combined for a solid 2,051 snaps during the 2019 season. So when you talk about Clemson lost 4 offensive linemen, the dudes that replaced them, like I say, they play more people than anybody. So that's why when you see returning starters for your favorite ACC team, Clemson is immune to whatever that number is. They're the only one in the conference that way.
All right, when we come back on Packer and Durham, a quick check of women's basketball. We had some big wins over the weekend. We had some surprising losses as well. Jeff Walls in Louisville keep rolling, and Westmore and NC State got another big win at home. Stay tuned, Packer and Durham. Coming up, we also hear from Kelly Gramlich on ACC Network.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
ACC Network, numbers 844-SAY-ACCN. We really, we're looking forward to Jeff Collins being with us, but he will be with us on Friday. Hopefully the private plane is taken care of this week.
Excuse me here for a moment. Christy, I don't know if you can get a picture of this or not from the upper deck camera. I want you to, can you go to the upper deck here? Look, I've got an 85-pound monster.
Not 85.
Right here. And hang on. Move my leg.
You can't.
Sorry, Fuller.
Oh. Well, you know, you two have kind of connected. You know.
Yeah, we've connected all
Fuller,
right.
Fuller has kind of found you to be his buddy. That's why he calls you
Buddy
Wes.
I'm Buddy Wes.
Call you Wes. He calls you Buddy Wes. Yeah.
How's it going, big fella?
Brother Fuller. There he is.
Yeah, how we doing?
That's your man right
that's
there.
That's it, yeah.
All right.
Bump right here below my feet.
You're good. You just want to make sure you're going to be there until 10 a.m.
65 pound.
Now you're getting close.
85 pounds.
All right, we talked a lot about the men's basketball weekend. The ladies were busy as well, especially yesterday. Slam dunk.
Full slate of games yesterday afternoon. A couple of them here on ACC Network as well. And I tell you, the scoreboard reflects some interesting ball games. I mean, Virginia Tech played yesterday. That was a interesting one. You had Florida State and NC State we talked about as well.
Louisville playing great, and Clemson snapping an old losing streak to Duke.
Yeah.
About that.
So all that and more. You go to the scoreboard and you start to see things, and we often talk about the narrowing of the field with the men's games. How about the women? Boston College beat Georgia Tech yesterday.
I told you I thought the ladies' race to the top would be closer than the men's. Yeah. Now, Louisville, of course, lights out, right? And NC State playing great.
Yep.
But you look at the schedule now. Louisville's sitting there and on top. NC State's game behind. Georgia Tech two back. Florida State, North Carolina,
right.
Wake, 4-3. Virginia Tech, Syracuse, 500. It's going to be tight, man. But Louisville setting the stage right now at the top.
Yep, no doubt. And last night on Nothing But Net, great to see our friend Kelly Gramlich and Kelsey Riggs breaking down what Kelly had. Kelly's own version of accounting, by the way.
It looked kind of similar.
You know what she did, though? She took a page from Durham's book. She went in tears.
We're going to actually do your power rankings in tiers.
Okay.
So the bottom tier is the teams that have work to do. That's kind of a nice way of putting it, I feel like, Kelly.
Yes, this was a generous term. These teams are most likely not making the NCAA tournament. Syracuse, barring some crazy run, but you look at these teams here at the bottom. Now, Clemson has played well as of late. Boston College beat Georgia Tech today. That's a huge win for Boston College. Notre Dame has looked a little better. So that's where I'm putting those teams there. But those teams definitely have some work to do in the fourth tier.
And those three teams we just talked about, not in your bottom tier. Let's talk about your third tier, your bubble teams. And there we see Wake Forest.
Well, we mentioned the Deacs. We talked about them and gave them some love. They're definitely on the bubble at this point, have some work to do. I didn't put them in the work to do category, but they have some work to do to make the tournament. Virginia Tech has looked pretty good. Got a win over UVA today. This is a team that most of the time they miss the tournament, at least under Kenny Brooks, because their non-conference schedule isn't super strong. So they have to get a lot of ACC wins. That's going to be a focus for the Hokies, but they definitely have a chance.
Five teams left now. We got two more tiers to get through. This is the tier of tournament teams, Kelly. And give me who's coming in at number five for teams that you think can make the tournament.
All right, number five, the North Carolina Tar Heels. We just talked about how well they've played under head coach Courtney Banghart. And right now, I think that Charlie Cream on ESPN.com has them as one of his last four in. So they're kind of on the bubble. But I think they can definitely make the NCAA tournament. And, yes, we're talking tournament here in January because that's why we play. So I have UNC number five.
I like that. And the only team so far this season to hand NC State a loss. How about number four?
Florida State. Florida State was way up at the top of at least my personal power rankings when we started the season, but they've lost three ACC games. They've really struggled. Kaia Gillespie's playing well, but she's not getting a lot of help. So that's been the main issue for FSU. I love what Gillespie's brought, but Ikamu and Wolfolk and some of those freshmen, Puisis, River Baldwin, they have to step up and help her get River Baldwin there struggling against NC State. And it was really telling when Florida State was blown out by NC State in Raleigh. So I moved them down to four.
Those two teams, both 4-3 in ACC play. How about number three? Which way are you going?
Number three, Georgia Tech.
Did you think you would be saying that at this point when the season started?
Heck no.
The third best team in the conference.
I called two Georgia Tech games last year, and I just can't believe what they look like now. And it's such a credit to Nell Fortner and those veterans for buying in. It's tough when you're a junior and you're a senior and you have a whole new coach and a whole new staff. But they've really bought into Nell Fortner. They're number three. If they hold serve and continue to play like they're playing, I think they'll make the tournament.
That buy-in from the players is definitely huge. Let's go to the top tier. And these are teams that you say they're not just going to make the tournament. They're not just going to make a run. These teams could be in the Final Four.
The Final Four is, you know, the pinnacle of college basketball. And so number two for me on this list is NC State. They've played really, really well under Coach Wes Moore and Elisa Kunane. We've talked about her on this show endlessly. She is an absolute baller, but they are so deep on that team. They have 8-9 players that can go and can get out there and give you 10 points, can give you 5 boards with Ace Koenig and Kai Crutchfield. Kayla Jones played really well today. So I love the depth that NC State has. I think that depth can take them far, but I'm not prepared to jump them over my number one team quite yet.
Three straight wins for them since that loss to North Carolina. And guess what? The rematch against North Carolina coming up this week, Sunday, on ACC Network. That leaves one team, Louisville.
It's Louisville. You're welcome, Luke, wherever Luke is back here on this show. Louisville's still the best team in this league. They're undefeated. They handled North Carolina today. And they do have the one loss on the season. But in ACC play, they've been absolutely solid. Jasmine Jones, one of my favorite players in this league, can do it all. And then Dana Evans, who's the best shooter. Not only the best point guard in the ACC, but the best shooter, which is a rare combination. Kylie Shook can spread out the defense and can do it all. So Louisville is still my main Final Four contender in this league. But I can't wait for that Louisville-NC State matchup, which is coming up.
All right, great stuff. Kelly Gamlick and Kelsey Riggs last night from Nothing But Net. And the Power Hour is next here on Packer and Durham, including best and worst of the weekend. By the way, the best is pretty good. The worst is pretty bad. I ain't gonna lie to you.
It's normally how it works.
Worst is not especially good this week.
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah. We'll take you to the 9 o'clock hour, Packer and Durham on ACC Network.